Yes, he's fresh from launching Block and Grapple and the Raging Bull at the Bly Bly Hotel on the sunny coast just north of Mooloola Bar there, and he's checking in from there somewhere. How are you, Block?
Gentlemen, I'm at the Bly Bly Hotel. Have you ever got the opportunity to come up here? It's magnificent. What a beautiful place.
So just north, is that right? Just near Mooloola Bar somewhere?
You're 100% correct. And the Raging Bull was raging last night, I can tell you.
I can only imagine.
He loves it. He loves it, the bull.
He does. Did you go for a swim this morning, Stephen?
Not yet. Because it's pretty early morning talking to you guys. But I will have a little bit of a splash, 100%. The weather's beautiful up here. And, yeah, as I said, the Raging Bull in fine form. Mate, you forget what legends they are up here in Queensland. Yeah. You know, Mal Meninga and Gordon Tallis and Alfie Langer and all those sort of guys, you know, brought right back to from Arthur Beetson, the start state of origin, you get the understanding why it's so popular up here.
Well, talking about one of those legends, Mal, he's been linked to South Sydney, Block.
Mm.
What do you think of that? If that is in fact the case, do you feel for Jason Demetriou? Do you think Mal will actually want to do it?
First off, I do feel for Jason. I think, you know, he's only got his feet under the table and they're talking about getting rid of him. I think he's a fine coach. I actually like talking to him. I think the players have got the bit to answer for, you know, especially Latrell and Walker. They're the blokes that South Sydney look up to. They're the senior players. On Mal, manager. You know, he's managed all those guys. When you have a look at it, you know, Murray and, you know, Walker and... He's got a great relationship with Latrell. I don't know whether he'd do the day-to-day coaching, but he'd certainly be a mentor there and be the head. And, you know, those guys respect Mal Meninga, as everyone does in the game. And, mate, it come from left field, I might say. Loz, I was quite surprised, but, you know, when you sit back and think about it, if they want to get themselves going again, you know, I think Mal would be pretty good. They'd certainly listen to him anyway.
Yeah, I'm the same as you, Block. I was, like, not so much stunned, but I thought, I don't know whether he'd want to do it. Yeah, I don't know whether he'd want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what coaching's like, 24-7. And you and I both know he doesn't like Sydney. So to spend 5 months or 6 months down here, being away from a young family, I don't know. But certainly gain the respect of the players, certainly straight away. That's something that I don't know whether they need, but they certainly would play for him. He's got a great track record doing that. But I just don't know whether what's sort of the driving force for Mal to take that on.
Yeah, it's a good point you make, Laurie, because, you know, he's working on Fox at the moment, you know, does Super Saturday and all that sort of stuff, mate. He gets to critique and talk about every team rather than having the stress of the pressure all on you. So, yeah, mate, just depends what his desire is. You know Mal better than anyone. You know, I know him pretty well myself, but, you know, whether he wants that pressure, that's 100%. He's got a great life at the moment, mate. You're just coaching really the Australian side and organising what they're going to do. And, you know, you don't play that many games. But, mate, from all reports, people love him. He's got this great ability to bond people and get them together and make them understand what it's like playing for Australia. Maybe he can do the same thing with South Sydney. But, you know, it was one from left field for me anyway. But good luck to him. I hope if he wants to do it, I think he'll be successful at it, Mal.
Gosh, I tell you what, though, amazing, isn't it, to think where Souths are, Block, you know, from the middle of last season. And for Jason Demetriou, according to reports, basically out the door. You did that game, didn't you, last Saturday?
I did.
Yeah.
They were poor, weren't they? They were poor, but they're playing against a red-hot Warriors side. Mate, those guys, you know, we talk about Loz all the time, you know, about players in motion and with options at the ruck and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, Wade Egan, he's a super player. You know, I've been thinking about tossing him up for Origin now, you know, when you're talking about, you know, McCookie looks like he's been dropped from South Sydney and, you know, Appy's playing some good football for the Tigers, but Wade Egan, the opportunities in Origin probably don't arise as much when he's playing that style of game. But, yeah, mate, they blew him off the park. It was, you know, that was just you know, just a procession of tries, and they just couldn't stop them. Maybe the South Sydney side, you know, Burgess is aging a little bit. You know, Cookie's got a bit of age on his side. It's funny, Loz. You know, all of a sudden you're all right one season, you have one off season, you get a little bit of age in the legs, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to get the tap on the shoulder to say, well, you know, am I still able to compete in this competition? Mm. It looks like, to me, like South Sydney have got a few blokes like that. It's not bagging them. I think they've been tremendous, those guys. But at some stage, and it happens so quickly, you know, that you know, you start to get that tap on the shoulder to say, well, you know, do you still think you can compete?
It is a tough start, though, for South. When I looked at their first seven games and...
Yeah.
And so I had six of the sides in my top eight that they played against, like Manly, Brisbane, Roosters. They got beaten. Then they won against the Dogs. Then they got the Warriors, and they got beaten by them. And now they've got a bye. Then they've got to take on Melbourne and Penrith. So they've probably arguably had the toughest start to the year. So I'm assuming their back end of the season is going to be a lot easier than what the start of the year was. And last year they started really well and then fell away at the back end of the year. But anyway.
Therein lies honestly, boys, the trouble with the draw. You know, mate, you could, and I don't even look at the ladder now. You could have, you know, you could have two buys early, and other sides have none.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, as Loz just said, you know, you could have a horror draw about who you're playing, and then all of a sudden you get a few light weeks and a couple of buys, and
bit of confidence
you march up
if you
the
win.
Table.
Yeah, you know,
you start to march up the table. Yeah. So yeah, it depends on, you know, Loz, when you were playing Canberra, well, you guys never hardly got beat anyway. But I can talk on behalf of the Tigers. Once you started getting beaten like that, you don't tend to look at the draw, because mate, that can be the worst thing you can do, because you start to say, oh my God, look at that, look at the next five games, instead of concentrating on the one that's in front of you, you know.
No, you're right. And I know that South Sydney have been the big talking points block, but I think there's a couple of other teams that are flying under the radar. I think the Eels, I think we're expected more off them this year, and we expected more off the Titans as well with Desi.
Yeah, mate, I had the Titans in my eight purely on some of their attacking players, and Desi Hasler going there to fix their defence, where, you know, they floated in and out of games the last couple of years, and but if they were at their best, they could almost beat anyone. But mate, they're diabolical at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
You know? And but then you have a look at the big improvers. There's a couple of sides that you mentioned are the big improvers, and they're a bit out of sight, out of mind. Mate, the Cowboys, they're playing some great footy at the moment, and also the Canberra Raiders. What Ricky Stewart has done has all of a sudden got some athletic outside young backs.
Yeah, good players. Some
mate,
of those young backs.
I did the game last week. And mate, they just exploded. I couldn't believe, you know, the youth and the speed and the strength of, you know, Timoko and all those sort of guys. You know, Strange at 5'8", what a player, and what a find he's turned out to be so far.
Yeah, no, he's playing terrific.
You know, Ricky's done a great job there.
Most definitely, Bock. He's playing some terrific football and sort of really living up to the raps that they had on him. Talking about young blokes that just quite haven't lived up to their potential yet. I see that Josh Schuster is parting ways with Manly at the end of the year if he can find a club.
Yeah, well, mate, that's the big question mark, isn't it? I mean, I've seen him like early in his career, and I was even saying it, you know, like this guy's got ability that other people haven't got, but he's not fit. And that's been the problem, you know. Like, Loz, I don't really understand that you're training full time and you've got the opportunity with all the services at your beck and call that you can't get yourself fit. I mean, there's got to be a problem there. When I used to watch him, I think, mate, this bloke's got ability I haven't seen for a long, long time. You know, his passing skills and the way that he could break tackles and offload the football and all that sort of stuff. But, man, he's been in the wilderness as a young fella, really, for the last 2 years. And I'm thinking, geez, when I heard that Manly said, mate, you can go and look for a new club, I was wondering to myself, you know, why it took him so long, why it took him a couple of years to understand, and maybe he would have had plenty of chances. I reckon the bloke's got enormous ability, but, mate, unfortunately, ability, you know, unfortunately in today's game, the way the game's played now and the speed and the fitness and the strength of all these guys, it's not good enough just being good anymore. Mate, you've got to be dedicated to it, and if you're not dedicated to it and get yourself in the right position all the time to actually play, or the right fitness to play every week in and week out. It's not easy. It's not for everyone.
No, it's not a hobby.
You know, maybe it's not for him, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned Parramatta before as a team, you know, potentially probably underperformed so far, Loz, but Clint Gutherson, block yesterday, staunchly defended Dylan Brown in regards to him filling the void left by Mitchell Moses, saying that, you know, Brown's been one of their best the last 2 weeks, Gutho said yesterday. And he also went on to say, there's probably a handful of other players who've been letting the team down, which is pretty
strong. Do you
name
names?
No, certainly didn't name names, but certainly threw the challenge out there to everyone else.
Yeah. Mate, the thing is, we talk about it all the time. Do you, when there's injuries and all that sort of stuff, do you weaken one position to strengthen another, or try to strengthen another? Like Brown is one of the premier 5'8" in the competition. You know, you can put him there for a couple of weeks. It hasn't worked. Put him back to 5'8" and find a halfback. That's what I think, and I think that's what they've done this week. You know, like all of a sudden, hey, Loz, you'd be able to tell us, you played in the halves all your life. You know, all of a sudden, you know, your halfback's injured, say Ricky Stewart's injured, they throw Laurie Daly, say, at the halfback, and all of a sudden, instead of Laurie Daly running and being a tackle buster and setting up outside play, they say, righto, Loz, you're doing all the general play kicking this week.
Yeah. Well, mate, it doesn't work. It can't work. I had a couple of games at halfback when Ricky was out, and it just didn't work. I wasn't a halfback. Just wasn't a halfback.
I'm not a halfback, 100%. I mean, I heard Gordon Tallis talking about it the other day, about the kickoff run, you know, and we're talking about blokes getting knocked out and all that sort of stuff from the kick-on run. We're going to try and stop that. I think we talked about it last week. And he said, mate, Shane Webke lived for that run. So he wanted, from a kickoff, they say, mate, who's going to take the first run? Webke, you go, mate, I will. But that was his go. And Gordy would say, well, I don't necessarily want to do that run. That's not my job. But Webke loved that run. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can still picture him. You know, you talk about, and mate, I was looking at Brownie last week for Manly, mate, off the bench. That they were Webke type runs, and not the biggest man.
No, but well, not everyone can do it.
That way he went. That's, mate, 100%.
There's no way in the world.
Courage.
Like an outside. Well, I can talk for myself. There's no way in the world. Yeah. That I would have loved to have done that job.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, you know,
hand
get,
on heart.
You know,
no way in the world.
You know you're going to get whacked.
Yeah.
Because it's the first run. Mate, you know when everyone revs up for the first run in the origin?
Yeah.
From the kickoff. You remember? Everyone just goes, oh, mate, the poor bloke has taken the first run. You know what I mean? But Webke, you know, and Gordon was talking to me about it. He said, mate, he got cranky if he didn't take the first run or take a kickoff return. So, you know, it's horses for courses. It's what your job is and what you do. You know, Loz, you played in the game when they changed that run. Bobby Fulton changed it when we played against France. And he said to Ciro, mate, the biggest man in the comp. Mate, you're going to take the runs from the kickoff. This is where I want you positioned. That's how it started. And then everyone started copying. Mate, you have a look at the way the fullbacks play now. This is what I'm going to say about Latrell, who's got unbelievable ability, more ability in his little finger than I have had, right? But I'm saying the way that fullbacks play now, you watch them on the fourth tackle, right? They'll come in and run through the middle of the ruck, quick play the ball, and they don't have to kick, they don't have to chase. They've got to get back in their position at fullback, right? So it's a plan move. Now, one team does it, now everyone copies it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, you know, it's a bit like that kickoff return and all that sort of stuff, and, you know, evolution of the game, and you watch fullbacks now, mate. But when you look about, you know, Clock Star and all those sort of blokes doing it, Latrell doesn't do it for South. You see him get kick returns and, you know, pass off, or you don't, you know, you see him come alive 30 metres out from the opposition's goal line when the attack's on. And he's brilliant at it. I mean, he's got a beautiful catch and pass. He can break tackles. But he just doesn't do it enough at the back end of the ground compared, you know, to Edwards and Clockstar and, you know, Tommy Turbo and all those fullbacks. He probably doesn't do it anywhere near as much as those guys do. And that's the way the game's changed, and that's what you need from your fullback now.
Before you go, Block, Doc from Dubbo has texted, any chance you boys can get Blocker to give us a couple of Keith Barnes stories to remember the great mayor? Maybe even the yarn when Keith would get angry with the big fella, asked Doc. But sad news to come through earlier this week, Block.
Mate, sad, mate. He was a father figure. Laurie, you'd been on tour with him, mate. What a magnificent
lovely man.
Mate, a gentleman. You know, I've met a lot of those, you know, older sort of blokes that, we sort of looked up to and idolised. And, Keithy used to say to me, I knew I wasn't in trouble because he used to say, you got a sec in his Welsh accent. You got a sec, Blocker? You know, and I knew I was all right. But if Keith said, listen, mate, you got a minute? I knew, hello.
Tell him about the 92 of Block.
If I was playing up, Lozzie would say, what have you done now?
Tell him about the 92 of.
Well, the 92, quickly, I don't really like to talk about it, but I played up a little bit in one of the bars and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, that was nearly the norm week in and week out for the boys. And anyway, Keithy called me to his office up in the hotel. And he said, Blocky, you got a minute? And I thought, I'm in trouble here. And I went up. And, mate, Keith Kappen coached the Kangaroos in 59. So now he's the manager in 1990. So, anyway, I go up there and he said, what have you done now, son? He said, the Kangaroos have been going for 120 years. No one's ever been sent home from a kangaroo tour. You look like being the first. But he was a great man. Mate, wasn't he, Loz? He was very
such a humble man, too.
Oh, mate, unbelievable. 742 goals.
Yeah.
That is a toe poker. The story goes, I've got a lot of mates that played with him and that now that used to tell me that the opposition, if they were playing at Leichhardt and they got a penalty and Keith said, I'll have a shot at gold, you know? They said they all just used to hover just back on the halfway line. He was that good. But he kicked goals from 55 metres out. But, mate, a wonderful man, a great mentor. Mate, he was the glue that held us all together at the Tigers. When you have a look at, Junior and Zero and Benny and David Brooks and Wayne Pearce and, Gary Jack and all those sort of guys, Mate, poor old Jimmy Jack. Jimmy and I, a year apart, we're both from Wollongong Red Devils. We got taken to Sydney by Keith, And, mate, poor old Jimmy, mate, he won't mind me saying it, we're both in tears, mate, It was terrible. So, his funeral's next Wednesday, and, mate, we'll go and pay our respects. And mate, he was a father figure to all us blokes. We'd known him since he was 17 years old.
Yeah.
So,
mate, Block, I said to someone the other day, and you might know him, well, you do know him a lot, lot better than me, Barnesy.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever heard Keith Barnes swear.
No. No. Mate, he was a gentleman. It was unbelievable. Mate, I used to drive him, man. He reckons he was bald because of me. Mate, a funny story. I think it's a funny story. When I retired, he said, thank God for that. You've retired, Anyway, a week later, he signed Mark Guy, and I rang him, and I said, Keith, you got another lunatic on your book. Good luck. And hang up, And he just laughed, He was a funny bloke. Oh, I loved him, mate. I loved him. He was a champion. He was like a dad to all us blokes, We were only kids,
Good on you, Block, mate. Safe travels there in Queensland, and we'll see you next week.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Take care. Have a good weekend, boys.